you're probably best known for the Svalbard Global Seed Vault. A lot of people refer to these seed vaults as doomsday vaults. Can you talk a little bit about how that came to be and why it's so important?
I think there are two misconceptions, particularly about the seed vault near the North Pole. One is that it's a facility that's going to supply seeds to farmers all over the world if something bad happens, and no seed bank in the world can do that. It's really meant for breeding material to create new adapted varieties. And the other is that we built it because we anticipated some kind of doomsday. And that term never entered our minds until the place was under construction. And there was an article in a magazine, and I guess a headline writer put Doomsday Vault on it. And all of a sudden, frankly, the media, which had never been interested in this topic at all, totally bored by this topic for about 30 years of my life, all of a sudden the phone started ringing. What is this about a doomsday vault? So the real problem and why we built that facility and why seed banks exist is to provide plant breeders with breeding material.
Can you talk a little bit about what the vault looks like and give a few facts about what's actually in there?
Sure. Well, from the outside, there's just a little wedge sticking out of the side of this mountain, very high up the mountain. And it looks like some kind of thing from, 2001 Space Odyssey. But once you open up the doors, you're peering down this long, very simple tunnel. And the tunnel goes about 130 meters into the mountainside. And at the end of that are three vault rooms. And each is capable of storing 1.5 million samples of seeds, though we're only storing seeds in one of those rooms right now. So that's sort of physically what it looks like.
I've always heard these seed vaults described as global insurance policies for plant life and agriculture to keep going. What are we talking about when we talk about crop diversity? And why is it an important topic for people to consider?
Most people don't pause to think too much about crop diversity. They go to the store, and for them it's brown rice, white rice, and Uncle Ben's. And that's about it. But there are a couple of 100,000 different varieties of rice, and a couple of 100,000 different varieties of wheat, and probably 30,000, 40,000 different kinds of beans. And all of this is not just nice and pretty. It is. And it's not just worthy of existing. I do believe it is. But it's the raw material for plant evolution. And the definition, I think, of extinction is when something loses the ability to evolve. Because when any species loses the ability to evolve, it's just a waiting game until the last individual dies. But it will happen. So we need this diversity to help agriculture adapt to whatever is going to come in the future.
What would you say are some of the biggest threats to crop diversity throughout the world right now? And what would you say are going to be some threats down the line?
Well, I think probably the biggest threat continues to be the modernization of agriculture and growing uniformity in agriculture, particularly in developing countries. But if you put that aside for a while, because that's been there for a long time, I would say that climate change is number 1 through 5 of the top threats. Climate change is going to change so many things about our agricultural system, and it is going to disadvantage some crops. It's going to disadvantage farmer varieties in developing countries where you still have a lot of diversity that hasn't been collected, hasn't been put in seed banks or the seed vault near the North Pole. And that's going to result in a lot of displacement of existing diversity in the world.
That's Kerry Fowler, who spearheaded the construction of the Svalbard Global Seed Vault near the North Pole. He's also a former director of the Global Crop Diversity Trust. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.